Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
A couple of Donald Trump's orders in court today and Monday, Hollywood feeling the impact of the fires. But first, we got more of this rain today.
It is wet and slippery out there. Some mud has been flowing, and we're not sure if PCH will reopen later today. That's TBD. Let's get more live from the Palisades this morning and our John Baird.
And we hope to talk to the people at Caltrans here shortly. But in the meantime, yes, they had some slides overnight. They had some sliding activity, some mudslide. It looks like some rocks came down on the road here about a mile north of Topanga Canyon. They had to send crews up there, and they spent a couple of hours pushing that stuff off the road. So they've gotten that reopened. There were also some slides up in Pacific Palisades. I'm going to be checking on that, but I stopped here just southeast of Big Rock Beach because Caltrans has a crew here, and what they're doing is they've got a K-rail on the side of the road, you know, by the mountain, just in case stuff comes down, but they're putting this barrier up. It's about 12 feet high, chain link fence barrier. They put up, these heavy beams all the way along the K-rail, kind of pushed them into the ground, and then attached this chain link fence, double chain link fence at the lower part, to try to keep anything from coming down to the highway. So they're taking precautions, and that's a really good thing when you consider we may get even heavier storms here at the end of next weekend.
John, thanks. A new panel starting to work to help people in the city of L.A. recover from these fires. It's called the L.A. Recovery Committee, chaired by Councilwoman Tracy Park, represents that Palisades area.
A lot of questions about the process for removal of the hazardous materials and the lot clearance. A lot of work has been done already in 30 days.
She talked to us about the timeline, the need for not just homes and businesses, but the infrastructure.
All of that has to be rebuilt. And that's going to be happening at the same time that people are rebuilding their homes. And so I think to manage expectations and be realistic about it, we are some number of years, plural, until we're done. But I am hopeful.
Councilmember Monica Rodriguez, also on the committee, represents parts of the valley.
Well, I recognize the large-scale impact to the Palisades. In my district, we had 800 acres burn in the Hearst Fire, and I have a community that has suffered through many of these similar situations and had parts of my community devastated similar to the Palisades. So we're very familiar with this recovery efforts and what needs to happen.
SoCal Edison recently saying their equipment may have started the Hearst Fire that was in the Sylmar area. Mayor Bass expected to provide an update on the recovery in the Palisades at 8 this morning. You'll hear that live.
More this morning on how the fires have impacted film production in L.A. Here's Larry Perel.
Among the devastation caused by the fires, film industry officials remain hard at work trying to retain and to also bring business back. Paul Audley is the president of Film L.A. and says work stopped when the fires broke out.
It pretty much shut it down for the first couple weeks of the fire period. And so we're now beginning to see it come back to the levels that we'd hope it would, which was an improving fourth quarter in 2020. 2024.
Audley says his office is doing what they can to help crews pick up where they left off.
Film LA has allowed them to continue to reuse suspended permits, and we're planning to film and have been delayed, so to make sure that they can really, in essence, hit the ground running.
He says there were more than 500 locations wiped out by the Eaton and Palisades fires, but productions are looking for other places to shoot in the county that can work. I'm Larry Perel, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
First responders in Pasadena getting a chance to share their experiences of what they did to save lives in the Eaton fire. Pete Demetrio says some can't believe they made it through the night alive.
Pasadena Fire Captain Trey Sorensen, an arson investigator, was at the Two Palms Senior Care Center at the rear of it observing the approach of the flames and coordinating the rescue of more than 250 people who were inside.
The panic on the people's face is what gets your attention. They're elderly, they're in wheelchairs, they're in hospital beds, and we kind of had some trigger points in my head, and if I saw fire in the back window, we were going to evacuate. If I had fire up the east bank of the hillside, we were going to evacuate. The sprinkler heads were broken inside the building and kind of dribbling water, so I knew it had no fire protection system. And your gut is, let's go.
Sorensen said when he sent a four-man team to rescue a woman on the third floor, flames were racing below them on the second floor of the structure.
The thoughts I had in the parking lot watching this fire run the second floor, I can't explain, and I'll never be able to explain. Did I send them to their fate?
The team rescued the woman and came out unhurt, and Sorensen said the motivation for that action is explained in the simplest of terms. We had a mission. In Pasadena, I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
It's 20 minutes of nonstop news brought to you by Ozeron Law, the injured workers hotline.
It's been a month since the fire started, and we talked about it this morning with LA County Supervisor, the chairperson of the Board of Supervisors, Catherine Barger, and asked her about concerns developers could change the dynamics of Altadena and try to force some people to move.
Yeah, I mean, this is a debate that's going on right now. You know, the state passed legislation that allowed for by right and density bonuses for those that build, you know, into certain areas. And I've asked them to put a pause on it, especially in Altadena, because my fear is that with those laws in place, there are going to be developers that are going to know that they can, in fact, build around the community standards district that Altadena put in play that really does retain Altadena, quite frankly, and the charm of Altadena. And I'm hoping that the governor agrees to put a pause on it. I know that the state Senate is down here right now touring and looking. And again, I'm not a fan of the legislation pre-fire, but recognizing that there are many in fear that they're not going to be able to rebuild and that developers are going to come in and change the entire fabric of Altadena, it's important for us to recognize that we're all in this together, and I'm hoping that we can do the pause so that we can allow those to rebuild. And when I heard that woman say, rebuild, 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 it warmed my heart because that's what I want to hear. I want to hear the community know that there are options. I'm working hard to make sure that we provide every resource necessary for them to be able to do just that, rebuild.
Speaking live with LA County Board of Supervisors Chairperson Catherine Barger, let's talk about the Red Cross shelter at the Pasadena Convention Center. There's been a lot of talk about this. It's going to close. It's not going to close. They're looking for a motel and hotel vouchers for people who need help. And also, there's a shoot, I guess, filming coming up maybe in next week or something, and the week after that. Where do we stand with that, keeping it open or moving people to a different location?
Well, recognize this. This was always a temporary shelter. And when I get the numbers, and I'm still fleshing that out, some of the individuals in there are people experiencing homelessness that, in fact, were not impacted by the fire. So it's important for us to get our LHASA, the LA Homeless Services Authority, out there to triage on that. That should be a no-brainer. That should have been done last week, 2 weeks ago. But for those that have been, survivors of this fire, make no mistake, we are going to be there for you. We're going to provide you with the vouchers. Part of the complicating factor is that many want to stay close to Altadena. And when I talk to people who are trying to find housing, there's not a lot of it. And so it is very difficult for individuals to find something close to Altadena. But we're going to do everything we can to help, including vouchers. It's important for us not to turn our back on them.
Very quickly, when the evacuation orders went out, a lot of people didn't understand the orders because of the language difficulties. A lot of, you know, kinks in the system. And I know that you have requested an investigation. But frankly, I hate to jinx it, but another disaster could happen at any time. You and I know that. We live in Southern California. So when do we expect the kinks in that evacuation order system to be worked out?
Well, I've asked for a 90-day report back, and so I'm confident it can be done. And to your point, we're talking about the rain. We're talking about the possible mudslides. Yesterday, we were fortunate. I don't want people to let their guard down. We put everyone on alert, and then nothing happens. And then when we do it again, they say, well, they did it last time, and nothing happened. It's important for us to recognize that common sense needs to play into this as well. If we're telling you that there's a possibility of mudslides based on the fire scar, take it seriously, assume the worst, prepare, and hope for the best.
That is LA County Supervisor Catherine Barker.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A Waymo involved in a hit-and-run crash in downtown Los Angeles and is the answer to sky-high egg prices, a home chicken coop. More coming up as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Judge in Boston deciding if the president's order stopping birthright citizenship of children of parents in the U.S. illegally should be blocked. 19 state attorneys general have asked the judge to stop this. A Massachusetts AG saying the birthright citizenship is a constitutional guarantee.
There is a well-established process for amending the Constitution in our country. Civics 101 teaches us it takes an act of Congress and ratification from 38 states to change the Constitution. What the president is attempting to do is illegal.
Hearing follows a Seattle judge blocking the order and a Maryland judge pausing it nationwide. Now the AGs want the judge to stop things temporarily.
Federal judge has temporarily paused a plan orchestrated by the president and Elon Musk to offer federal employees buyouts. The judge expected to take a closer look at the issue at a hearing on Monday. California, part of the legal action against the buyout offer, and the attorney general told CNN this morning that there are too many questions.
This attempt to purge our federal workforce should not stand. And there are no guarantees in this proposal. There is no congressional appropriation to fund it. There is no guarantee that you might not get fired immediately after you take it, or that you'll even get paid, or that you'll even that you won't have to work, and that you will still have to work under this arrangement.
The Office of Personnel Management posted on X that the deadline for federal workers to accept the buyout has been extended to Monday.
Group of senators introducing a bill to create this wildfire intelligence agency aimed at improving federal response. It would help various government departments collaborate and respond to fires more quickly. Alex Padilla, our senator, with three others, are leading this. Padilla's office says it'll focus on sharing crucial information and improving monitoring to help manage fires and reduce the damage.
When the evacuation orders went out during the fires, a lot of people couldn't understand them because of the language used. Here's Art Sanders.
Limited English language skills led to misunderstandings and even not understanding at all emergency preparedness, response, and even recovery information. Melanie De La Cruz Viesca of the UCLA Asian American Studies Center says the wildfires have presented an opportunity for decision makers to rethink and strengthen emergency response strategies in order to build a more inclusive disaster response and effort to rebuild.
People who've lost their homes, when they go to FEMA, you know, not understanding, you know, what do they qualify for? Having people who are trained with culturally and linguistically appropriate skill set is going to make a world of difference in terms of making sure that all these efforts make for a more efficient recovery.
The Eaton evacuation zone had the largest share of Asian Americans impacted by the fires, with nearly 39,000, comprising approximately one-fifth of the area's residents. I'm Art Sanders, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Police are looking for a driver who hit a Waymo taxi, then ran away last night downtown. This was on Grand and West Pico. One of the guys in the taxi with his three friends tells KTLA they got rear-ended. Three of the passengers went to the hospital. No word yet on the conditions. Car that hit the Waymo kept going, eventually crashed into two more parked cars a block away.
Came to an intersection the other day with the Waymo, same time. And we were waiting for someone to cross the street, and I was looking at the Waymo. And the Waymo sort of creeped out into the intersection. I thought, is this Waymo going to cut me off?
Is this computer car going to...
Because any other L.A. driver would have just gone, right?
Yeah, just
but no.
Gunned it.
I had the right of way. So even though it crept out a little,
yeah.
And it knew, and it waited, and let me go first. Deadly strain of bird flu taking a significant crack at the nation's egg supply, and now some Americans have their own solution, and that is raise chickens at home. We've talked about this. CBS News correspondent Naomi Ruckin says it's not easy.
The logistics of raising chickens at home can sometimes be tough to crack, and getting started isn't cheap. Costs vary from about $200 to $2,000 just for the coop, not to mention chicken rules vary by region. Add on feed, waterers, and that priceless TLC, most egg lovers will keep scrambling to get their weekly dozen from the local store.
The U.S. economy created 143,000 jobs last month. That is lower than expected and down from the more than 300,000 in December. The unemployment rate fell slightly to 4%, while wages were up a little more than predicted. And we talked about all of this with University of St. Thomas economics Tyler Shipper about the latest numbers from January.
It's a reminder that this is still a look backwards into beginning of January. So this is kind of the final days of the Biden administration. It's not yet necessarily the first month's report card for the Trump administration. But yeah, you're absolutely right that this was kind of it was kind of in line with what economists were expecting, a little bit below. But overall, it seemed that it's kind of the same place where we've been, where it's a pretty stable job market, even if it's not maybe as dynamic as it was in 2022 and 2023.
Yeah, it hasn't really moved the market, so maybe they just kind of feel like it is what it is. And also, maybe not bad enough in terms of a lower than expected to nudge the Fed into doing anything that the Fed doesn't already want to do.
Absolutely. That this would have had to be a pretty scary jobs report in order for the Federal Reserve to change what they were going to do. And on the Federal Reserve front, the Fed is just worried about inflation not coming down a little bit more. It's at a much better place than it has been in the recent past, but it's still, they need to see it come down a little bit more before they cut interest rates anymore. And so we might not be looking for another rate cut from the Fed until late spring or even into the summer.
If I was looking for a job, where would be a safe place to look in terms of the types of jobs?
Yeah, healthcare has been the industry that keeps delivering again and again and again. The other industry that's been up there has been government, but, you know, given everything that's going on in D.C. right now, I wouldn't say that's the best place to go looking for jobs.
Do you have our word of the day? Because you always give us a word.
I do. It's mundane. That, you know, this was neither good nor bad. It was kind of holding steady. But to be clear, like, I'll take a mundane report over a scary one any day of the week.
Why don't people feel better about the economy?
Because it's mundane.
Because it's mundane.
It's mundane. You know, and to be fair, like even with the low unemployment rate that we have right now, it's gotten harder to find jobs out there. And I want to validate that for people that until this report, we'd been seeing that the amount of time people were having to search for jobs was gradually ticking up. And it just was much harder for people to jump from one job to the next job or find a job. So even though the unemployment rate is low, it's getting harder out there for people to find that next job.
And, you know, we started talking to you about the fires. Are the fires and the losses there, the jobs and the businesses, are we going to see that show up in reports, future reports?
You know, it wasn't in this one, including the weather in the Southeast where it was really cold in January. The BLS says that it was not in this report. I'm still a little skeptical of that, especially with some of the leisure and hospitality numbers that were really low. We might see it when local area numbers come out for LA and for California. That's where I would expect to see it when you kind of zoom in a little bit more.
Again, that is the University of St. Thomas economist Tyler Shipper.